Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. If you're a mom or you know a mom, you've got a mom, just raise your hand and say Happy Mother's Day. It is so good. We appreciate all the moms in the house this morning. Amen. How many people got breakfast in bed? All the moms, presents. That's so good. It is good to appreciate our moms. Amen. And let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time. Lord, we invite your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we pray that you fill this place with your atmosphere. We take authority over anything, Father, that will seek to hinder. We declare, Father, that you bring answers to each and every one of us, that you speak to us, Father, in the name that is above every name. So, Father, we arrest the atmosphere and we declare the anointing of Jesus in this place. And, Lord, we pray that you have your way, Father, this morning in the name that is above every name. And the people of God said, and the people of God said, amen. I want to appreciate my friends, Rachel and Erica, who have come to be with me. It's a joy to have you girls. And I want to appreciate my husband as well for driving us all the way from Port to be here. You're a good man. You can clap hands for my husband. He is a good man. I remember when I married him, I was like, are you not going to change? You're just too nice. He's like, I'm going to change. I will change for the better. And exactly that, he has stayed to his word. He has lived up to his name. His name is Blessing. He has lived up to his name. Amen. I wonder how many moms, today is Mother's Day. Have you ever felt as a mom that how am I going to raise my kids in such a world that we are living in today? Where our kids are constantly bombarded with all distractions that are coming left, right, center. Pornography is on the rise today. Temptations, distractions. The world that we live in, scripture speaks about thick darkness. As the world comes to an end, there's going to be thick darkness that will cover the earth. As a mom, as a dad, have you ever felt, God, how are my kids ever going to turn out in this world, in this generation, where darkness seems to even get thicker? My kid one day came from home, from school, and he said to me, Mom, this world is now like Sodom and Gomorrah. Apparently, he had seen this footage where people were just walking naked in the streets. And he said, Mom, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. You go to schools, I know of schools that are subtly starting to teach kids about witchcraft in their studies, in the books they are reading, subtly infiltrating and initiating kids into witchcraft. This is the world that you and me live. I heard of these parties that are getting common these days, where as a couple you go to this party. When you arrive at this party, all the couples will just put their car keys in a bowl. After the party, you just take randomly the keys, any key that you take. So the key that you take, it means you're taking the wife of that person and then you go with them for the night. This is the world that you and me live. Because the word of God says, as the end draws close towards the Lord Jesus' coming, there's going to be thick darkness that is going to cover the earth. And church, we are living in those days, in the last days, before Jesus is coming. What can you and me pass on to our kids that will make them strong in this world? What can you and me pass on to our kids that will allow them to be steadfast and not be moved in this dark generation that you and me find ourselves in? I am convinced that the only answer for you and me is found in Jesus' last words before his ascension. Church, the title of my message this morning is Hold On to His Last Words. Hold on to his last words. There is something about last words that when a person says last words are often held as so important. I remember when we relocated from Newcastle to Port Macquarie. I gathered our key team. I had some last words for them. I wanted them to hold so dearly these words. I was giving them my life, the secrets of my leadership journey, things that I had learned over time. So I asked them, I said, this is a different meeting, team. Please, we need a video recorder. Record these words, because these are the words, the last words that I have for you, that I want you to hold on so dearly. I was giving them the mistakes that I had come across in my leadership journey. I was giving them the secrets to success that I had found in my leadership journey. I was pouring out my life to them. These were the last words that I wanted them to hold on to so dearly. There is something about last words. Last words are often regarded as very profound, very dear. Last words are often said for people to remember them. I remember when we were growing up, Mom had her best friend. Her best friend was called My Jerry. Just look at your neighbor and say, My Jerry. Oh, there's a Jerry somewhere there. Mom was friends with My Jerry. Every time, because she was our neighbor. So every time you'd see Mom would stand for long hours with My Jerry on the fence. And they'll be chatting and chatting and chatting. They were friends. I am convinced that Mom and My Jerry would often agree and tell each other times to be pregnant. The days that they'll be pregnant. I'm sure they planned it. Why? Because our firstborn in our family was born in 1973. And My Jerry's first son was also born in 1973. Our second born was also born in 1978, and My Jerry's son was also born in 1978. I was born in 1980. Guess what? The third born of My Jerry was 1980. The fourth born in our family was born in 1983. Guess what My Jerry's fourth born was? You guessed right. And the fifth born was 85. And guess what My Jerry's son was as well? Oh, 1985, you guessed right. And the sixth born in our family was born in 1987. Guess what My Jerry's son was as well? 1987. And the seventh born, 1994. Guess what My Jerry's son was also? Correct. How many women here are guilty of agreeing with each other which days to be pregnant? Confession time, people. So they were very close with My Jerry. They had this amazing relationship with My Jerry. They loved each other. They were best friends. But here is the difference between Mom and My Jerry. Mom had gotten born again in 1980, the year I was born. But My Jerry was not born again. She liked boozing and partying and going to nightclubs. She didn't want Jesus. Mom had tried all the time to convince My Jerry to be born again. But My Jerry was like, no, 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 that's not for me. I do not want to be born again. You do your church business, but it's not for me. She liked partying and boozing. But one day, my Jerry's young sister, I think they went into an argument. There was something that happened in the family, between the two families, one family and the other. And a young sister, sadly, was poisoned. Somebody put food poisoning for her to die. It was a sad thing that happened to my Jerry's young sister. And what she did is she called all family members, my Jerry's, all the family members for my Jerry. And she said, I have some last words I want to talk and say to everybody before I go. And my Jerry was one of the people who were called in this family meeting. In that meeting, my Jerry's young sister said, you know what? I am a Christian. Right now, I see Jesus standing next to me and some angels. And they are about to come and take me to go to heaven. I don't want you to argue with all this other family of what has happened and get into arguments. Forgive them. But here are my last words. If you want to see me again, if each and every one of you family members, my family members, if you want to see me again, you must be born again. And those last words of my Jerry's young sister is what made my Jerry to be born again. Why? Because last words are often remembered. They are often profound. People regard them so, so dearly. So in Acts 1 verse 4, we hear of Jesus' last words. I'm sure when he said these last words, he wanted you and me to hold on so dearly to these last words because they are profound. These last words are what will make you and me stand strong and steadfast in this generation. These last words are what will make us immovable in the world where thick darkness is covering the earth. There are last words that Jesus has spoke to you and me that he wants us to hold dearly and always remember and let them not pass away from us. These last words are the secret, I believe, to the success of every child of God. They are profound words. So here are Jesus' last words to you and me before he ascended. He said on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh my God. Jesus' last words were, do not do anything. Do not go anywhere. Do not do anything until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. These words are important. They are profound. They are full of wisdom. You can almost sense the weightiness of these words. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Oh, church, you and me, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our lives. We need his divine enablement in our lives. We need his wisdom in our lives. We cannot do this life by ourselves. This life where there is thick darkness covering the earth. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit to walk this life with us every step of the way. How many moms have ever looked at their children and said, do not do this? Have you ever done that as a mom or a dad? And you have warned your children, do not do this. When you have said that, is it up for debate? Is it up for discussion when you have said to your children, do not do this? Are you asking for their input? It's a stern warning. It's an instruction. It's a command. It's not up for debate. It's final. So you can almost feel the weightiness of this command. Do not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I wonder what crosses your mind whenever you see a do not sign. Do not signs are often warning signs. They often warn us of hazards that are ahead. Do not signs often alert us of things ahead. Just think about that do not sign, do not cross this line. When you are passing through in the road, when you're driving your car and you see a do not, enter at your own risk. So here, Jesus' last words, you can see that they are warning words. They are important, they are profound, and they are full of wisdom. As we read in the Word of God, we see people who got baptized in the Holy Spirit were empowered by power from on high. They were turned into other beings. They ceased to be ordinary. My first encounter with the Holy Spirit, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit in 1998. I used to be a very shy guy. Why am I saying guy? I used to be a very shy girl. Very shy. I told myself, speaking in front of people is not for me. I was so timid. But after the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, there was a new boldness that came upon me. There is something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You are turned into another person. God's anointing, God's enablement comes upon you and you are turned into another person. If you were shy, there is a new boldness that comes upon you. If you were timid, there is a new boldness that comes upon you. Just look in the Word of God. People who were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter was a very timid person. He couldn't even stand up to a slave girl. But listen to what happens to his life after the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Acts 3 verse 4, it says, Peter and John boldly standing before a lame person said, look up to us. This is a Peter who was timid, who could not even stand up to a slave girl. But after the Holy Spirit's empowerment, he was bold and he said, look up to us. Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have in the name of Jesus we declare, rise up and walk. And immediately the lame walked. Why? What was the difference? The Holy Spirit's empowerment. Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they are unschooled ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What happened? There was a new level of wisdom that came upon them. Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, the place shook where they were meeting and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness. Acts 5:12, it says, the apostles began to perform many wonders among the people. Acts 5, it says, people brought the sick in streets and laid them on beds. And Peter's shadow started to heal the sick. Just imagine as you are walking, your shadow healing the sick. That is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. As a mom, as a wife, as a mother, as a university student, we all need the Holy Spirit's empowerment. In your career, in your business, you will do well for yourself if you allow the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Why? Because you cease to walk this life by yourself and you tap into the wisdom from on high. So 2 Corinthians 3 verse 14, the Bible says, now may the grace and favor of the Lord and the ambiguous love of God and the precious communion that we share in the Holy Spirit be yours continually. The word communion there, it means contributory help. It means fellowship. It means partnership. So in other words, the Bible is telling you and me that may we allow the Holy Spirit's help in our day-to-day life. In other words, the Bible is telling you and me that may we allow His fellowship and communion in our day-to-day life. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the Bible is telling you and me that may we allow the Holy Spirit's partnership in our day-to-day life. You and me can allow the Holy Spirit's help in our lives. We can allow the Holy Spirit to co-partner with us as we go through life. I wonder, as a child of God, how quick are you to allow His help in your life, at school, in your career? How quick are you? Do you commune with the Holy Spirit? Do you fellowship with Him? Do you allow His partnership in your life? When it comes to making decisions in your life, do you make your own decisions? Decisions on where to invest, decisions on where to stay, to live, decisions on who to marry. All the single men and girls, decisions on who to marry. Emeka! Because there are many girls, Emeka. There are many girls. How are you going to know that this is the right one? Because you can't do, my mother told me to choose this one. No! You can't do try and error. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in every step, in every decision that we make, and allow His partnership in everything that we do. So let's look at the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. Just like you would talk to a person and commune with a person. That's what we would do with the Holy Spirit. You would talk and just converse with a person. So you and me can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Speak to Him every day. Fellowship with Him every day. Relate to Him. He's not just a power. Because we've limited Him to only a power. We've limited Him to only an influence. He is a person. He desires to commune and converse with us in our everyday life. So you and me, we are not orphans. We were not left as orphans. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit. I wonder, in your day-to-day dealings, do you recognize Him? Do you speak to Him? Do you relate to Him? I remember mid last year around June, because I've been training my kids. Because this is the only thing I am convinced will be able to make them strong. So I've been training my kids to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and commune with them. So this time in June last year, I was just driving on a Wednesday afternoon with my kids. And I said, kids, it is time to pray in our heavenly language. Let's all pray in our heavenly language. And we just started to pray in our heavenly language. After some time, I said, okay, let's all stop and wait to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to mom. So I started with my firstborn son and David. And I said, David, what is the Holy Spirit saying to mom? And David said, oh, mom, God is saying he wants to give you a baby. I just looked at my boy. I said, oh, he has missed it. Because realize when you are learning to hear from the Holy Spirit, at times you make mistakes. So I said, oh, yes, you made a mistake. Because you must understand, we were not planning to have more babies. So that was out of the way. So I said, oh, okay. Next, Daniel, let's just hear what you have. I just shrugged this one aside. But what he said, God is saying he wants to give you a baby next year. And the baby is going to come in August, mom. I said, then I just shoved it off. Then I met with Pastor Mirella in November. I blame you. And the Holy Spirit showed her a picture of a baby. And she said to me, you better start looking for a nana. Because you're going to be traveling a lot preaching. And God showed her a picture of me holding a baby. But you have to understand, me and my husband, we were done having babies. Needless to say, I do not know how this happened. I have no idea up to now. I can see Emeka thinking, oh. I can tell you exactly how that baby came. But what's my point, church? If kids can hear from God, and actually the baby's coming in August, exactly what my boy has said. If small kids can hear from the Holy Spirit, how much more you and me? You and me are able to hear from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? Number one, he speaks to us. Acts 8 verse 29, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said to Philip, he's a speaking God. As Peter was in deep thought, Acts 10, 19, the Spirit said to him, go downstairs. He is a speaking God. Acts 18 verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have called them. He speaks and he desires to speak to you in every day of your life. I remember in 2007, I was married to my husband then. And I was home and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, start to pray for your husband. It didn't make sense. I'm like, for what? So I just started to pray for him. The surprising thing, when he came home, he told me, oh, Florence, I almost was killed. His tire just punctured and he was almost involved in a fatal accident. But thank God for a speaking God. Thank God that you and me do not serve a dumb God. Thank God that we serve a God who's actively involved in our lives. Thank God we serve a God who desires fellowship with us. Thank God we serve a God who desires to give us direction in our lives. Thank God we serve a God who desires to give us warnings of things that are ahead of us in our lives. Thank God we serve a God who desires to commune and fellowship with us in our day-to-day life. He desires to lead us. He desires to give us divine direction. He desires to make, to walk with us all the time and co-partner with you and me as his children. We can commune with him, child of God. We can commune and fellowship with him. We can allow him to speak to us and give us strategy. We are not here by ourselves. We can allow him to walk with us in our day-to-day life. I wonder, you might be here. Are you facing some difficulties with your children? Maybe you're facing some difficulties at work, in your career. You might be facing some difficulties and challenges in your relationship, in your marriage. My advice to you and me is we can tap into His divine wisdom. We can allow Him to give us divine strategy. We can allow Him to walk with us and say, Holy Spirit, give me strategy here. What is happening to my child here? How should I handle this situation? Because God's strategies work anywhere, anytime, and they are effective. Number two, we can allow the Holy Spirit to reveal His word to us. He reveals His word to us. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. We can allow Him to reveal His word to us. It is His word, church, that will make us strong. When the evil day comes, it is His word that will make us stand and not be defeated. When we allow the word of God to be rooted in the inside of us. One of my fondest memories growing up was seeing my mom just perusing through her Bible, her tattered Bible. She would always put in the word of God inside her. And as life went and she faced many challenges, mom always would be strong. Why? Because she had taken time to put in the word of God inside her. When trials come, what will make you and me stand? It is the word of God that will make us stand. I never forget in 2012, I sent my kids with Tawana there. She took my kids to a party. But when she brought the kids, one of the kids was sick. And my boy was just vomiting. And we're just there with Tawana. We're like, what do we do? And my husband was just off to work at that time. And he just said, oh, just monitor him. So we just sent him to sleep. Tawana being a chatterbox, she started to chatter through. And we sent the boy to sleep. So after chattering for some time with Tawana, we're like, oh, let's just check the boy. We went to the bedroom, checked the boy. What we saw, we had not planned for it. My boy's eyes had swollen. He couldn't see anymore. His face had bulged out. It was a scary sight. I remember calling my husband and he said, oh, you better call the ambulance now. We called the ambulance there. Then me and Tawana later realized, we have not prayed. So we then took the boy and we laid hands on him. And we commanded that sickness in the name of Jesus to go. That very moment, what we saw in our very own sight, there she is, Tawana, she can testify of it. We'll never forget. That very moment, everything came back to normal. His eyes lit up and his face came to normal and he was totally healed. Needless to say, how embarrassed we were when the ambulance people came. But what made us to stand is the word of God that we were depositing in the inside of us. We can allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate His word in us. How many people have ever felt as you read the Bible, like, it's boring. What are they talking about? I used to do that. Confession time. I would try by all means to read the Bible, but I would just doze off and wake. It was like it was now like a sleeping tablet for me. I would try by all means, I would not understand it. It was only when the Holy Spirit, when I began to involve the Holy Spirit as I read the word and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about this scripture? To my own personal life, what are you saying? That the word of God became alive in my spirit. We'll put up a picture. They're going to put up a picture of a boy, small boy, who was born and was told that he had allergies. Doctors could not help him. He couldn't eat lots of foods. There is the small boy. He couldn't eat from the time of birth. He couldn't eat any foods. But as we stood on the word of God with the mom, she sent me this picture this week. She said, after prayer, after standing on the word, look, my boy can eat all this food that he could not eat. There is power in the word of God. When you and me stand on the word of God, we will see results. They're going to put again a picture of a woman who had a tumorous cancer growth on her. Many people know her here. She's called Helen in Kitim. There she is, diagnosed with a tumorous cancer. She came and said, Florence, the doctors have told me, and it was all on her face, I have a tumorous cancer hanging over. We said, let's stand on the word. The word of God says we were healed. Let's stand on the word, Helen. As we stood on the word, prayed, the tumorous cancer disappeared. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's empowerment. When the Spirit of God empowers you, child of God, there is power that comes upon you. You cease to be ordinary. We defy all odds when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. No wonder why. The Bible says in the scripture we read, may you allow the Holy Spirit's partnership. May you allow the Holy Spirit's leading. May you allow the Holy Spirit's communion. Why? Because there are results when you allow the Holy Spirit's leading and partnership. Number three, number two, the first point we said we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. The second point we said we can allow the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us. Number three, we can allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. We have been given a heavenly language that we can use. You know, when I got married in 2006, I was not the best person to live with. I was very, very quick to anger. My husband knows that. I tried by all means to make this anger go, but it would not leave me. I was quick to anger. He liked sports so much, according to me. And I felt he was neglecting me. And I remember looking at that TV one day thinking, I need to break this. I was quick to anger. The change came upon my life 2 years later when I held this book. I got hold of this book that was called Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. It talks about the vital role of praying in the Spirit. So that time, it was in 2008, we had just moved to this country, Australia. So I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anybody. So the only thing I could do was pray in the Spirit. So I spent days, like I'll just wake up in the morning and pray in the Holy Spirit from morning to night. And then following day, just do that, morning to night. And I was just fasting and just praying in the Holy Spirit. After a month of doing that, my husband said, what has happened to you? I'm like, why? She's like, you're not the woman I married. You've changed for the better. There were things that I knew you were quick to anger. I knew if I pressed certain buttons, they would make you so much angry. But I've been pressing these buttons of late. He was not being a blessing, living up to his name, doing that, pressing those buttons. He said, I've been pressing these buttons of late. But you are no longer quick to anger. What has happened? What has happened? What had happened is I had allowed the Holy Spirit to pray through me. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we allow the perfect will of God in our lives to pray. When we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves out. When we pray in the Spirit, we allow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, to be birthed in our spirit, in our lives. When we pray in the Spirit, the devil does not understand this language. He cannot block this language. When we pray in the Spirit, we exhort ourselves. When we pray in the Spirit, there is effortless change that comes upon us. When we pray in the Spirit, there are divine mysteries that come and that we will be praying. We pray the perfect prayer for ourselves when we pray in the Spirit. There is power when you pray in the Spirit. Are you like me with all these when I was in 2006? Are you quick to anger? Are you impatient? Are you easily angered? Are you a hot-tempered person? Do you have a short wire? Are you touchy? If you pray in the Holy Spirit, you will pray the perfect will and you will see the fruit of the Spirit coming upon you. We can train our children as moms, today being Mother's Day. We can start to train our children to start to pray in this heavenly language and we'll see effortless change on them. There will be sweet kids, sweeter kids. Why? Because they'll be praying God's perfect will. When we pray in the Spirit, you will just start to see doors open. Maybe you do not know what God has called you to do. When I started to pray in the Spirit, the plans of God for my life just started to open up like that. You don't have to kick open any door when you pray in the Spirit. Why? Because you'll be praying God's perfect will plan for your life. I started to see doors opening for me without me trying to kick open any door. You will start to see that the plans of God will just start to open up for you. If God has called you to be a businessman, you will start to see those plans for you to be a businessman just opening up for you. There is power when we pray in the Spirit. I wonder, as a child of God, do you pray in the Spirit? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you? You can tap into this amazing gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. Number three, we said we can allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Number four, we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. John 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear." And I like Romans 8, 14. It says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You know, we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in our lives. As a child of God, who's in the driver's seat of your life? Are you leading your life? Or do you allow the Holy Spirit's guidance to lead you? The job of the Holy Spirit is to lead us. It is to guide us. It is to direct us in the affairs of life. In 2004, I never forget, there was a guy who was in our music team in our church. He used to be on the sound, like those sound guys. He came and proposed love to me. I looked at this guy. I said, must be the one. He was so kind, Pastor Tony, that guy. He was loving. After every service at church, he was just kind. After every service at church, you would say, "No, Florence, don't hold your handbag. You are so delicate. I will hold your bag for you." So after church, you'll be carrying my bag. I looked, I said with my natural eyes, He must be the one. So we had been taught on the need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you on every decision. So I went before God. I said, God, is he the guy? He looks amazing. He's a Christian. He was ticking lots of boxes. I didn't expect what I heard from God. Neither did I want to hear what I heard from God. God said, no, he's not the one. Pastor Mirella, I cried in my bedroom. I cried. I said, God, I'm tired of being a bridesmaid of all my friends' wedding. When is my turn also gonna come? Every guy that comes, God, you're saying, no, it's not the one, no, it's not the one. And now I thought this is the one, and you're saying it's not the one. And I remember what God said to me in my bedroom that day. He said, wait on God. The best awaits. I remember making that brave phone call to him. I said, please stop calling me again. And he said, oh, why, Flo? Why? I didn't have a reason that you would understand. So I said, that's what I just said, bye. And on the other end, I cried. It was only 2 years later when my blessing package came that I realized that, God, you knew that the best awaits. That God knew the perfect man for me. He knew that he had a blessing package for me. It pays to obey God. One of the best decisions I have made is marrying this one. It pays to obey God. So my point, church, is we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We can allow him to guide us in every decision that we make. We were listening with the Bible College students. This testimony by Jesse Duplantis, maybe most of you know him, a preacher from America. Jesse Duplantis said one day one of his friends came. He said, well, while I was driving, the Holy Spirit said to me, buy this land. But he said it was for $3,000. So he was giving this offer to Jesse Duplantis to buy this empty piece of land for $3,000. So Jesse said, he looked at this land and he said, do you know anything more about this land? And this man said, no, I have no idea. I don't even know anything about this land. And then Jesse said to this man, so why do you want to buy this empty rubbish piece of land? And the man said, look, I just heard from the Holy Spirit while I was driving to buy this piece of land. So Jesse said at that time, because the offer was given to Jesse and the another man, and they said, we'll just do 1,000 each and buy this land. And Jesse laughed at this land. He said, no, I'm not going to be involved in buying this piece of trash. So this man went ahead, the other friend refused as well to contribute the $1,000. Jesse said, I actually had the $1,000 in my pocket, but I just looked, I said, trash, why would I buy this? So this man went ahead, paid the $3,000 for this land. It was only 3 months later when the state of Louisiana in America approached this man who had bought the $3,000 trash land. And they said, look, we want to put a road through this piece of land. We are offering you $3 million for it. And Jesse said every time he walks through that land, he just shakes his head and knows that it pays to obey the Holy Spirit. The thing that is going to make you and me as the children of God go further is the Holy Spirit's enablement, his guidance, his leading. How quick are you to obey the Holy Spirit's promptings when he prompts you to do certain things, even if it doesn't make sense, it pays to obey God. Are you faced today with a financial decision, with marital issues? Maybe there's a ceiling, maybe in your business, in your career, you feel there's a ceiling. You can rely on the Holy Spirit to give you direction and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. The final point is we can allow the Holy Spirit's help. The fourth point we said, we can allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. The fifth point is we can allow the Holy Spirit's help. John 16 verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your own advantage. Just look at your neighbor and say, your own advantage. That I go away. The helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. The helper will come to you and I will send him to you. My mom got saved the year I was born. We were 7 in our family, but dad was not born again. But we saw mom standing strong with the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Mom was not so much bothered that dad was not saved. She focused and she knew that she has the Holy Spirit's empowerment, the Holy Spirit's enablement in her life. As a result, because of her influence, all 7 of us are born again. 4 are actively involved in ministry. They are pastors. Are you a single mom? And you look in the natural and think, oh, I can't do it by myself. I wish my husband was saved. You look at your situation and the enemy shakes your confidence. Because the device of the enemy is always to challenge us, to challenge our abilities in our workplace, that we are not able. The enemy's strategy is always to challenge our confidence that we are not good enough. The enemy's challenges us to try to always shake our confidence in our parenting, in our careers, that we'll look at ourselves and think, oh, we are not able. But let me tell you what the Word of God says in Psalms 18, verse 29. The Word of God says, with your help, I can advance against the truth, and with God, I can leap over walls. Child of God, Philippians 4, verse 13 said, you and me can do everything, all things, through Christ who strengthens us. It says in Romans, not despite of all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. You and me can make a difference in our kids' lives. We can make a difference in our marriage. We can make a difference in our generation. Why? Because we'll have the Holy Spirit's empowerment. He desires to empower you. His strength, his might, his enablement, his wisdom, his grace is for us for the taking. We have a standby. We have a comforter. We have a helper who desires to walk with us through this life. We do not have to do this life on ourselves. We can engage with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our day-to-day lives, and we will see results. There is power when we allow the Holy Spirit's communion. When we take God's words, God's last words, that do not do anything without the Holy Spirit, and decide to partner with him in every decision, and decide to engage with his Holy Spirit, his help, his enablement, we will go further as the children of God. What are some practical steps of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? I'll invite the music team. Number one, what the Holy Spirit will tell you will always be in alignment with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can't tell you to divorce your married husband and marry another one. That's not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it conflicts with what the Word of God says. So whatever the Holy Spirit says will always align with the word of God. Number two, we can commune with the Holy Spirit every day as we read his word and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying as I'm reading the word of God? What are you saying to my personal life? Number three, we can be quick to obey the Holy Spirit's nudgings and promptings and we'll see results. We can allow the Holy Spirit to be our safe guide and fellowship with him. Shall we stand?